Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another fantasy team preview here on the South Harmon Network. I'm Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, joined by Koopa once again. Koopa, Cleveland Browns, so my team on this one, man. Coach Kevin Stefanski, he's the one who calls the plays, and offensive coordinator, they brought in Ken Dorsey this season. He was fired from the Bills halfway through the season last year. Now he's over here with the Browns after Alex Van Pelt was let go of, and he went to New England. Key players who left, honestly, really nobody left. They have a lot of the same team this year. Targets, vacated air yards, 59 targets, 553 air yards are gone from this team, so not a whole lot. But quarterbacks, why don't you go ahead and start us off with the quarterbacks here for the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, the quarterback here, we've got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson realistically, since he's come to the Browns after what ended up happening down in Houston, like, he has not shown anything close to what the Browns were hoping to see out of him. Realistically, I think the biggest reason that he's still the starting quarterback is the fact that he was given $230 million fully guaranteed, and he's on the payroll all the way through 2026. So he's got another 3 years left. Like, we saw the Broncos just completely ditch Russell Wilson. It would still be way too much money. Russell Wilson, we were like, wow, that was like $90 million that they left on the table there. But Deshaun Watson would be even more than that. So Deshaun Watson, he's probably going to be the starting quarterback, because realistically, he's better than the mishmash of backups that they have. They've got Jameis Winston, who has found himself a nice role as a journeyman backup for the NFL. But he's not starting caliber. And then we also have Tyler Huntley, and we have Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And then they also brought on Jacob Sermon as a 2024 UDFA. They only kept two on their initial 53-man last year, and I don't see how you can realistically keep more than three, but I think they have three worthy quarterbacks on this team. Between Deshaun Watson, probably Jameis Winston being the primary backup, and then either Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Tyler Huntley. Realistically, I think both of those guys are good enough to be a primary backup on a lot of teams in the NFL. It just happens to be that they are on the Browns all together, all Jameis Winston, Huntley, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And only one guy can be the second quarterback, and only one guy can be the third. But Deshaun Watson, we're hoping he can put it together, especially for fantasy purposes. I mean, right now he's projected to be quarterback 21, but back when he was in Houston, he was a top five quarterback. And so that potential is there. It's just a matter of, can he stay healthy? Can he get over? I'm sure some of the off the field stuff that happened in that transition from Houston to Cleveland, it also affected like some of that mental preparation and things like that go into him playing. And so it's just a matter of, if it all gets pieced together, he could be an absolutely solid piece for your fantasy team. But if it doesn't get put together, he could end up being another disappointment again this year.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, this is kind of, I mean, Watson had a full off season of not having to deal with a lot of the hoopla last year. This is, you know, really going to be another test of that, and, you know, not a lot of hoopla or anything like that. They got him some more weapons this year, so it is going to be a lot on his shoulders, especially with Nick Chubb, you know, who we're going to get into here shortly, coming back. This is going to be a Deshaun Watson-led team this year, obviously, so we're going to see what happens there for Deshaun Watson. I still like him. I'm still interested in him in fantasy. He wasn't doing terrible last year. Like, he still runs the ball, so you get that rushing upside from him as well. So interested to see what happens there. Jameis Winston, they brought him in 1 year, $4 million fully guaranteed. So I think he's going to be locked in there as the backup quarterback. And then I was surprised at the Tyler Huntley signing, but I think they're just telling Dorian Thompson-Robinson, hey, you got to earn your spot. So if DTR gets beat out, he gets beat out, and they're just going to cut him or try and bring him on the practice squad if Huntley beats him out. But I think that's a legit battle there for who to see who's going to be the third quarterback. And I think they're going to end up having to keep three quarterbacks, especially with the injuries that happened last year to them. Running backs, so Nick Chubb, obviously coming off the devastating like week three injury last year against the Steelers on Monday night. He's probably going to be missing, I would guess, the first six games. I think he was going to get pupped, but we'll see. You know, we haven't really seen or heard of too many, you know, oh, he's looking great, he's doing this, he's doing that. We haven't really heard too much of that yet. So I'm not drafting him in redraft fantasy at all this year. If he beats me, he beats me. But I'm not wasting a pick on him this year. For Dynasty, you kind of just have to hold on to him and just see what happens. Like, I'm not starting him until he, like, actually has a good game. So that's one of those guys I'm going to keep on my bench. Jerome Ford, I think he's going to be one of the starters this year, kind of like a 1A, 1B. His PFF grade was a 68.3, 39th of 50th, 59 last year. Deontay Foreman, they brought in a grade of 74, 27th of 59 running backs last year. I really think Foreman is going to play the Nick Chubb role early on. And I've seen Devontae Foreman. I've gotten him in trades for like a fourth round pick. I've gotten him off of waiver wires this offseason. Like, I think Deontay Foreman is somebody very, very sneaky that you can pick up right now for very cheap. And I think he can give you some starts here early on, especially. I think he is going to be the main running back, where Jerome Ford will be the guy who sneaks in here on third downs and, you know, passing and stuff. So we'll see what happens there between those two. But I really like Foreman for this coming season. They also brought in Nyheim Hines from Buffalo. Pierre Strong Jr. is still there. John Kelly Jr. and Aiden Robbins, the 2024 UDFA from BYU. They only kept three running backs in the initial 53 last year. I think it's going to probably be three again this year, where they pup Chubb so that he won't count, and they keep Jerome Ford, Deontay Foreman, and either one of Nyheim Hines or Pierre Strong Jr. I would guess Nyheim Hines just because of his returning ability, but we'll see what happens there. What are your thoughts here on the running backs?
Yeah, I kind of see it as a similar thing across everything you said in terms of Nick Chubb, who we have to see if he's going to come back. There was something a couple days ago of a video of him like running in a straight line, which is good to see recovery that he's able to run. But anytime you're talking about an ACL, you're looking at side to side, not straight line running. So when that comes back, that's a big question mark of will he be able to be back in time for the start of the season? Everything that I have heard has been that they are either unsure or leaning no. And so in that case, you're looking at Jerome Ford and Deonta Foreman. And Deonta Foreman, as you mentioned, did pretty well last year. Like, he's still playing well, so I could see it being a split situation between them. What I could see potentially happening is that you end up seeing four get kept on the initial 53. And you see Jerome Ford, Deonta Foreman, and Pierre Strong be true running backs. You see Nick Chubb ending up on the pup. And then you have Nyheim Hines as the quote-unquote fourth running back. But really, he's just a return man who has the running back label on him. And then when Nick Chubb returns, you end up seeing Pierre Strong get demoted to the practice squad. That would be kind of my guess for how they end up running this running back room. Just because Nyheim Hines, even in the many years before last year's ACL, he tore his ACL really early. Like, it was like beginning of August or something before even preseason started. He should hopefully be back and good to go for this season. But he in previous years just never really showed it at the running back position. He's always been that return specialist. And so that's the role that I think he plays. So I don't think they want to rely on him being that third running back.
Yeah. All right. So on to now the wide receivers here. So Amari Cooper is back. PFF grade last year of 79.9, which was 20th of 128. Jerry Jeudy, they brought in this offseason in a trade with the Broncos. His PFF grade last year was 67.8, which was 62nd of 128. Elijah Moore, who's back with the team, PFF grade last year of 58.9, 94th of 128. Not very good from Elijah Moore last year. Cedric Tillman, PFF grade 55.5, which is 106th of 128. So he was even worse last year. He was a 2023 third round round pick. David Bell, 2022 third round pick. I'm sorry. Jamari Thrash, who they brought in this year, 2024 fifth round pick. Michael Woods, a 2022 sixth round pick, is still there. James Prochet, Jalen Darden, Jalen Camp, and Amarian Brown, a 2024 UDFA out of South Carolina. So this team kept six wide receivers last year, and I'm thinking it's probably going to be the same this year with Cooper, Judy, Elijah Moore as your top three. Cedric Tillman will be in there. David Bellin will be in there. And then Jamari Thrash, who they drafted in the fifth round. I think that's going to be your six this year. Everyone else is probably going to have to go down and be, you know, on the practice squad or whatever. I could see a scenario where they do keep seven and Prochet is the returner. If like Nyheim Hines doesn't work out, but I think Nyheim Hines or a Pierre Strong Jr. could handle the kick and punt return duties. So I think they're probably going to end up keeping the six wide receivers. Some quick highlights here on Jamari Thrash. Overall, Thrash doesn't have a true distinguishing trait as a receiver, but his separation, quickness, and receiving savvy will be lifelines to an NFL career. His inexperience on special teams will need to change quickly once in an NFL camp. So 41 slot snaps, 340 out wide. So this is going to be an exclusive out wide guy. 62 catches, 96 targets for 848 yards last year at Louisville, six touchdowns, 71.2 man coverage grade. So that's good to see him being able to beat man coverage most of the time. Eight drops, which is fucking terrible. So he's going to have to improve on those drops. 6.7 yak, which was tied for 86 in the country. So he does have some yak ability, especially being an outside receiver. That's good to see. 11.1 average depth of target. He was 5 for 221 on deep targets and only caught 8 balls for 78 yards in the slot. He's a solid route runner, too many drops, and just needs to be more consistent. What were your thoughts here on the wide receivers, Koopa?
Yeah, so Amari Cooper, he's getting up there in age, but he's still solid. We saw it last year. He's projected this year to be a back-end wide receiver too. And I don't see any reason why he wouldn't hit that, even if we see Deshaun Watson not step up into the form we're hoping to. Because, I mean, last year when he got hurt pretty early on, and then eventually Joe Flacco came in, like, Joe Flacco elevated Amari Cooper past that back end wide receiver two range. So he's definitely a guy that you want. It will be interesting to see how Jerry Jeudy ends up fitting in. He ended up not fitting in as well on the Broncos, and so that's how he ended up coming over to Cleveland. But Cleveland's been looking for that wide receiver too to help out their offense, and they just haven't really found one that has worked out for them. They were hoping Elijah Moore would do it for them. It wasn't quite good enough. So it'll be interesting to see if Jerry Jeudy can do that. Even so, I'm not confident that he's going to be a top 50 wide receiver that's going to hit that wide receiver threshold for you in lineup leagues. He might be somebody that realistically has a little bit more name value than production value right now. And so, especially in lineup leagues, I'm kind of wary about holding on to him. You don't really want anyone else for fantasy, but I agree with you on the six that are probably going to make the team. And then Prochet, I realistically think that that you don't end up seeing him make this team unless Nyheim Hines just is not ready. I mean, he'll have more than a year to get better from his ACL by the time the year comes around, so he should be good to go. But if for whatever reason he's not, Prochet, I think, could be somebody that he comes in and he helps out, like Pierre Strong on the returning duties and things like that.
Quickly on to the tight ends here. So Njoku is still there, 68.2 PFF grade last year, was 21st of 72nd. Jordan Akins, who they brought in, a Deshaun Watson favorite. So he's elevated up to the second role with Harrison Bryant moving on this year. They brought in Giovanni Ritchie, a, you know, fourth tight end, third tight end for the Panthers the last couple of years, going to fit the same role. Zaire Mitchell-Payton, a 2022 UDFA, still there. And Trayton Welch, a UDFA out of Wyoming that they brought in. So they kept three on the initial 53 last year. I think it's probably going to be the same with Njoku, Akins, and Ritchie, who can play special teams, blocker, all that kind of stuff, is what I'm looking there at the tight ends. Do you think Njoku can like we saw his best fantasy season last year, like the way he was used, especially with Joe Flacco in there. He really took off. Do you think with Watson and Njoku, do you think this is another year where Njoku, like he finished, or his projection this year is tight end 9? Do you still see him as a top 10 tight end?
I can see him finishing off as a top 10 tight end. Realistically, I think he, regardless of the quarterback, probably ends up finishing it as a top 10 tight end. But he needs, I think with Deshaun Watson, he does not end up finishing as like a top 5. But if Deshaun Watson ends up getting hurt again or whatever, and you see one of these other quarterbacks that likes to target the tight ends a little bit more come in, then you might end up with him having a little bit of a bump. But realistically, David Njoku is one of those tight ends that has a lot more name and a lot more value than the production you're going to get if you're in a no tight end premium start one tight end lineup league. I don't see how he's going to be that much of a difference over playing the tight ends don't matter strategy. And so he's one of those people that it's kind of hard to justify him in that. If you've got a heavy tight end premium, you're starting multiple tight ends, whatever. Okay. Maybe now I'm interested. But otherwise I don't think that there's a whole lot that you can do with David Njoku besides being forced to sell him for value right now.
Okay. Quickly onto their offensive line. So they were 22nd last year, and they dealt with a ton of injuries last year. So that's why they are rated so low from last year. They also lost their coach, Bill Callahan, one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. So we'll see how the offensive line rebounds this year. But this is still, on paper, a top 10 offensive line for me. Wyatt Teller, even though he dealt with injuries last year, he allowed a career high 6 sacks last year. So, you know, that's a guy that's got to improve this year, especially with the guys around him being a little bit better. We'll see what happens this year. So I am excited about the offensive line. Jedrick Wills Jr. is back this year. He had a PFF grade of 54, which is 64th out of 81. He has to improve. I know, his contract is coming up at the end of the season. So if he wants a big contract, he needs to have a big year and a healthy year. So we'll see what happens there. Hakeem Adeniji is their backup at left tackle right now. Left guard, obviously Joel Bitonio, who's been there for a lot of years, 67.9 PFF grade, 19th of 79 last year. He dealt with some injuries last year as well. So I think he can be better than this, but he is getting on the older side as well. So maybe we're seeing a slight decline in Bitonio's play. They did draft Zach Zinter, the Michigan guard, this year. In the third round, some highlights on him. Zinter won't impress with explosion or leverage, but he is big, smart, and physical, which allows him to control defenders, especially in close quarters. He can have a Mark Lewinsky type NFL career, although his leg injury puts a discount sticker on his draft projection. So to get this guy in the third round, was arguably one of Michigan's best offensive linemen last year. I think this was a steal for the Browns in round 3. Their center was Ethan Posick. Last year he had a PFF grade of 70.8, which was 13th of 36 last year. Played really good football for the Browns last season, so I like that. They also signed Brian Allen, a backup center from the Rams, to be their backup this year. Wyatt Teller, who I talked about, 72.7, which was 13th of 79 at guard. Backup Michael Dunn, who's been there for a couple years. Jack Conklin at right tackle, he had a really bad injury last year as well, so he missed most of last year. He'll be back. Hopefully he rebounds. And then the backup is Daywon Jones, a 2023 fourth round pick. Massive fucking human. He's like 6'8", 350, 340, something like that. 64.7 PFF grade. He was 48th of 81. But when he did play, he showed off pretty well. So they have a really good bookend tackle there right now. And then kick returners and punt returners. I'll let you go ahead and finish it up there for the Browns.
Yeah, the obvious kick returner and punt returner, assuming he's back from the ACL, is Nyheim Hines. He's done that for years and years. He's done well in both of those. James Prochet has some experience back when he was with Baltimore before Devin Duvernay ended up taking over both of those roles. So he could potentially come in a pinch. Pierre Strong has done some kickoff returns in the past, but realistically, he wasn't that good at it. And so there's a reason that we don't really look to him to be reprising that role unless Nyheim Hines is not good to go when the season starts. So, but Nyheim Hines, if you have big bonuses for kick returners and punt returners, he's definitely a guy to look out for.
Yeah. So, you know, final thoughts on the Browns. I think Stefanski and Watson, that's who's going to be the key this year for them. If those two are on the right page, calling the right plays at the right time, kind of like Stefanski and Flacco were last year to end the year to get them into the playoffs, that's what's going to be key. So Watson is going to have to rebound, and it's going to be all on his shoulders this year. Like, there's no – Nick Chubb is going to be there eventually at some point, but it's not going to be this Nick Chubb all-pro running back that we've seen the last couple years. We don't know what we're going to get from Nick Chubb, honestly. So it is all on Deshaun Watson right now. He's going to have to earn all that money. They got him another NFL, you know, starting wide receiver in Jerry Jeudy. I agreed with you. I don't know if Jerry Jeudy's going to be a top 50, but he probably flirts with it. I mean, he's going to have some weeks where he's probably a top 30 wide receiver. He's going to have some weeks where he's got, you know, 1 for 4, you know, and you're like, what the fuck? Why did I start this guy? So you're going to have a couple of those. And Njoku really came on last year. So hopefully Njoku's ascend keeps going as well. So they have some weapons there with Cooper, Jeudy, and Njoku. The running backs, I think, are solid. I think Deontay Foreman, like I mentioned earlier, is going to be a really big sleeper this year. So I would, you know, late in your best ball drafts, you're doing best ball underdog right now. I've taken Deontay Foreman a number of times in round 20. He's free. Take him and see what happens there. Like, he's proven, like, 3 years in a row with Carolina and Chicago last year. Like, when this guy plays, like, he puts up fantasy stats. He scores touchdowns. And you're like, you know, why didn't I start this guy? Because he's on my bench. Well, he just puts up points. So I think this year he's in a good spot to do it again because it's just him and Jerome Ford to start the year. So Foreman is the one guy, if I had to bang the table for somebody that you need to draft, pick up for free off the waivers, trade, you know, you're on the rookie draft, you know, right now you're doing your rookie drafts. You have a 408, offer it up for Deontay Foreman. You know, somebody will probably take it. You know, they'll let them take that Rasheen Ali. I'll take Deontay Foreman instead. So what are your thoughts here on the Browns to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think it basically comes down to, does Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski put it together? If they put it together and this offense is able to do work, it's going to raise up everybody here. Because if Deshaun Watson, realistically, if he's doing well, it's not just going to be Amari Cooper. It's not just going to be David Njoku. You might see Jerry Jeudy also be getting some decent work, and maybe he won't have as many of those one reception for 4 yards kinds of games. So that's the main thing that you have to look out for is, does he put it together? If Watson does not end up putting it together with Stefanski, if they aren't on the same page, this entire offense is going to suffer. They do not have the, in years past, they've been able to rely on Nick Chubb a little bit to give some spark to their offense, but Nick Chubb is not going to be able to do that this year. They're going to need that spark to come from elsewhere. So this is one of those scary ones to invest into of, it could either go really well or it could go really, really bad.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that is going to be it here for the Cleveland Browns. We will see you guys on the next one for the Pittsburgh Steelers.